Ladies, I appreciate that, and I like that song. That's great. Let's take the Word of God this morning. If you will turn to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel chapter number 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I was greatly enjoyed being here last Sunday morning. At least I got to preach here last Sunday, and I have preached every night this week. By the end of this evening service, I have preached 10 times in 7 days, so I tell you, I love preaching, and I thank God for it. And what a blessing it is to hear the preaching of God's Word. I'll tell you, it was a great encouragement to my heart this past week as I seen some young people that were in our teen group for many years, still faithful in church, living for the Lord, training their children in the ways of the Lord. And it was a great blessing. It encouraged my heart, you know. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's no doubt about it. I know on the last night I was getting ready to leave. Of course, I was going to drive through the night. And I came outside, and my car, someone had toilet papered the outside of my car. And it was some of my teenagers that were in my teen group, you know. And they were out there in the car with the, you know, the lights off, the engine running. Of course, I could see them, you know. And so I had to clean all that off before I could go home, you know. So, as a youth pastor, I've had my house toilet papered. I've had spoons put in my yard. I've had all kinds of things happen, you know. I've had my car saran wrapped before, you know. And so that's just what you have to put up with as a youth director, you know. And we used to do all kinds of crazy things. And I had some, you know, teenagers, they're just crazy in many ways, you know. And I remember one time, I was trying to make a video, a funny video for our May banquet that we did every year, and that was kind of at the end of the year. And so I had a guy in my teen group dress up like a gorilla. I mean, we got a real gorilla costume. I mean, it was pretty cool looking. And we put him in all kinds of different places in the building and scared the teachers and the kids. Man, it was great. You know, I mean, life was really good. And so, of course, we videoed all their responses, and then we showed it later on, you know. But it was fun. So they reminded me of what it was like to be a youth director, you know. And I like being a pastor better, you know. So now don't get the idea we're going to toilet paper your car or something, you know. It's okay. I see the love. I feel the love from here, all right. So we'll leave it at that. Well, it is a blessing to be back in God's Word as we come back to the book of 1 Samuel. And we have been talking about the life of David. David and King Saul. Is it not somewhat confusing in our minds? Why did God put David under the influence of King Saul? I mean, David, a man after God's own heart. David, a man who walked with God and knew God. But why did God put David with King Saul? God knew what was in King Saul's heart. God knew that Saul was a man that was away from God. So why did God do it? Could it be that God allowed David to observe a man who lost God's blessing upon his life? So that David would say, I never want to lose God's blessing like King Saul lost God's blessing. Do you know that every one of us here this morning, we all are examples. We all are a testimony of something. For King Saul, it seems that the only purpose that he served in life was to be an example of what not to do. And you know there are some people that are like that today. Their example, for instance, we find people in the Bible that we would say we find really no good testimony or example of their life, but it is an example of what not to do and how not to live. King Saul was that example. King Saul lost the blessing of God upon his life. And we find something here this morning that to me is the greatest detriment of his life. This morning I want to preach to you on this subject. When God will not answer. Can you and I get to the place in our Christian lives so backslidden, so far removed from the blessing of God that God will no longer answer our prayer? I believe so. Let's find it. 1 Samuel chapter 28, we begin in verse number 1, and let's read down to verse number 6 today. 1 Samuel 28 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men? And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And look in verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. I want you to take a pen in hand, if you would please, and in verse number 6, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you underline this little phrase, the Lord answered him not. This morning I want to preach to you on when God will not answer. It is a great privilege. I believe the greatest privilege of the child of God is that we can call unto the Lord and He answers us. In fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We have the promise from God that we can call unto God, and God hears our prayer, and God answers our prayer. This past week, as I was away from my family, of course, I missed them greatly, and I missed you all. I was privileged to be able to call my wife and to be able to talk to them. And every day I FaceTimed my family so that I could see them and they could see me. And we talked with one another often throughout this week. And that helped me in a great way. And brethren, in our Christian lives, the greatest resource, the greatest comfort, the greatest opportunity, and the greatest power that is available to us is found in that we can get on our knees, or we can be sitting in the car, or we can be working in our job site, and we can utter a prayer to God, and the very God of heaven hears our prayer. But what a terrible thing it is to get so backslidden on God, to allow sin in our life, unconfessed sin, and to allow things to hinder and to stop God from hearing and answering our prayer. I've heard years ago the story back in 1918. It's known as literally the Lost Battalion of World War I. And during this time in 1918, there was a battalion of men. It was known as the Companies of the U.S. 77th Division. It was 554 men. They were actually in the Argonne Forest during that time. And of course, they were doing battle against the German soldiers. Well, a man by the name of Major Charles Whitsley was the captain over that group of men. 554 men, a large battalion of men. And they were in that forest and they lost contact with their other forces, with their other fellow soldiers. And because they were in that forest and the fog had rolled in and they were not able to have contact with their allies and with their commander-in-chief per se, they were in trouble. In fact, they were sending messages, and you can see the messages that they sent, but the messages never got to headquarters. And they thought that they were sending the messages, but they were receiving no messages, and the messages were not receiving to the headquarters. And so, therefore, even the own American forces were bombing their own people because they were cut off from headquarters.
During that time, 197 soldiers were killed, 163 of them were taken as prisoner of war, and only 194 were rescued because they lost contact. And brethren, you and I are in a spiritual warfare today. We do battle against what the Bible tells us, that we do battle against those spiritual warfare. The devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. And brethren, we must not lose contact with our headquarters. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, when God will not answer. Now, we know what is taking place during this time. Saul has come to the very end of his life. And Saul has lost contact with God. In fact, Saul is not able to have fellowship with God. He is not able to walk with God. What has Saul done? He has allowed all kinds of things to enter into his life. He is out of fellowship with the Lord. He has allowed unconfessed sin in his life. Remember, Saul has been chasing after David, hunting him like an animal. Why? Because of jealousy in his own heart. And brethren, we must not allow things to enter into our life because it will hinder our walk and our fellowship with God. You see, we learn here that David is still being hunted like a wild animal. But David has kept his fellowship with the Lord. Verse number 6, notice it once again. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Can you imagine having absolutely no contact with God? Can you imagine having great need but not able to get to God to meet that need? And brethren, I've got news for you this morning. There are things that only God can give us, and we can only get them from God. Look, do you need joy today? We all need joy. You can provide yourself some measure of happiness, but you cannot give yourself joy. That comes from the Lord. What about strength of heart and strength of mind? That's not something you can provide yourself. It is something that only God can give. What about safety and protection for you and for your family? Only God can give that. What about the blessing of the Lord and knowing the direction of God and the guidance of God? Listen, those are things that only God can give us. Saul came to a place in his life where he had absolutely no contact with God. This past week, I had the privilege to do something that I've never been able to do in my life. And it was pretty amazing. Tuesday night, after the service was done, and we, of course, stay around to fellowship with people and to pray with those and try to encourage other people. But I had a young man in my teen group years ago, and his name is Jesse. And Jesse became a deputy sheriff 5 years ago in Illinois. Well, he called me up because he knew I was in town, and he said, "Hey, Pastor," he said, "look, I want you to go out with me when I go out patrolling one night." He said, "Will you do it?" I said, "All right, Jesse, I'll do it." So Tuesday night, I got done preaching, and God gave us a good service that night. It was really special. And about 9:45, I got into a SUV, a police cruiser, and I said, "Look, Jesse, I want a taser gun. I want a big stick. I mean, I want it all, you know." And I say, "Look, I'll taser them and you cuff them, you know. I mean, we'll have a good team going on here, you know." And he's like, "No, I can't. You can't touch my stuff now, all right?" And so I got into his police cruiser, and he said, "All right, let's go try to see some action." I said, "Look, just a little action now, you know." And I said, "Look, you got another bulletproof vest or something? Because, man, I'm a little scared, you know, over here." And so we took off. And, of course, he has the third shift job and, of course, into the night hours and all that. So we went and parked somewhere. And he took out his radar gun. And, of course, he was clocking people. And you know, about 50% of people are speeding, you know. I know that by admission, you know. And so he was clocking them. He said, "Ah, they're only going 5 over. I let them go." And if they were going 10 over, then he'd say, "All right, let's get them." So he'd floor it. Man, adrenaline was rushing, you know. It was awesome, you know. And so we pulled him over. We pulled over 6 people that night, you know, within just a couple of hours. Man, it was fun, you know. And But the five of the people he just gave warnings to, and I got out. I had my suit on, you know. I was like, he said, we'll treat you as like a detective or something, you know. And so I was standing there looking sophisticated, having no clue what was going on, scared half to death, you know. And but one car we pulled over, and he came back to the window, and he would tell me everything, and he would have their driver's license, and he said, all right, let's pull this, and let's see what's going on here. And he said, something's going on in this vehicle. I can just sense it. And sure enough, we did a big drug bust that night. It was all kinds of marijuana in the car, and of course, I had to put the people in the back and all that. But I remember during that time, he called, and people were checking on him. He had contact with the people, and during that time, that drug bust took a long time, two or three different officers pulled up and said, yes, you're doing okay, you need any help, and all of that. So I had a very interesting night that night, to say the least, and I had a greater appreciation for our law officers who put their life in danger. And he told me, he said, you know, every time I pull over a vehicle, it's a possibility for me losing my life. And he told me something. He said, you know, we're out in the county here, and he said, it's just me by myself. And he said, I can get backup, but backup may take 20 or 30 minutes to get there. And if there's ever a problem and an issue. And I thought to myself, you know, the truth is, today, brethren, we are in the same spiritual warfare. We are in grave danger. The Bible tells us that we live and walk among this world. But brethren, you and I, our backup's not 20 or 30 minutes away. Our backup is at a moment's instant. And brethren, the Bible tells us that our God is a very present help in time of trouble. Brethren, do you know what a wonderful thing it is? In a moment, we can call out to God. And if we are right with the Lord, and if we are, as the old timers used to say, if we are on praying ground, we can talk to our Heavenly Father. And God hears, and God answers our prayer. Have you ever been in the vehicle before and maybe there's almost an accident that's about to take place? In a moment you call out to God and God hears and He answers our prayer. But think about Saul. The Bible says that God would not answer him again. Saul had gotten to the place in his life. Here was a man sitting on the greatest throne. Here was a man who had the availability of God blessing him and helping him. But Saul had come to the place in his Christian life where God would not hear him. Can I ask you something this morning? Is it possible that you are at the same place in your life here today? I don't know where you are at between you and God. But what if today, what if this very moment, you needed to get a hold of God? For your child, for your spouse, for our church, for our nation, for your own safety, for your own blessing in life. But what if you were so distant from God that God would not hear you? I heard this story years ago of a man who was in a semi-truck and he came upon the scene of an accident. And he got out to see if he could assist in any way. And a little boy was on his bicycle and he was crossing the road and someone did not see him and hit the little boy. He was lying there in a pool of blood. And his mother was there. She had rushed out of the house. And she was there weeping and crying. And people were gathered around, including this man in the truck who was a Christian and knew the Lord. But he was away from God. And he hadn't been in church in years. And he hadn't talked to God in years. And the lady cried out. She said, if anybody knows God, would you pray for my boy now? And the man, God, had to get back in his truck. And he left and he found the nearest church and went in and told the preacher, preacher, I was just at the scene of an accident and a lady asked me to pray, but I could not pray because I'm so backslidden on God. Brethren, I wonder today, are we at that place in our life that we have allowed so much in our heart and life that we could not get alone with God? We know that God would not hear our prayer. Now, brethren, understand that our God is a loving God, a forgiving, a kind, a gracious, a compassionate God. God wants us to come unto Him. In fact, He says to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God asks us to call unto Him. God asks us to approach Him. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I've kind of had a principle in my life about My children, even though the door of my office is closed a lot, my children just bust right on through and they come through. You know what? I kind of like it that way, because to Daddy, hey, there's these closed doors, your family, you come on in. And can I tell you something, brethren? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're part of the family of God. He invites us to come on in and to have fellowship with Him. But what hinders us? What keeps God from answering our prayer? Number one this morning, I want you to notice as we think of this, God will not answer, number one, when we have unconfessed sin in our lives. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 59, and let's look in verses 1 and 2 here. Isaiah chapter 59, we come to verse 1 and 2. The Lord will not answer if we have unconfessed sin in our life. Today, as you sit there in your seat and as I'm standing here behind this pulpit, are you right with the Lord? You know, the old timers used to talk about being on praying ground. You know what that is? That means that we are so right with God that we can enter into His presence at any moment. And God will hear our prayer. And He will answer our prayer. Look, I've been a Christian since I was 17 years of age. I know what it's like to be on praying ground. I know what it's like to enter into the presence of God in a moment. And I know in my heart of hearts that I'm right with the Lord and that God hears my prayer. But I also know what it is like to not be in fellowship with God. I also know what it is like to know that there is something between my soul and the Savior, that I'm not right with Him. And the Lord, by His power and Spirit, wants to shed His light upon those things in our life today that keep us out of fellowship with Him. We have a God that wants to answer our prayer. We have a God that wants us to call unto Him. We have a God who longs to hear your voice and my voice. Oh, may God help us. God will not answer when we have unconfessed sin. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Do you know, brethren, that when we allow things into our life that is against God and against His Word, when we are living in known unconfessed sin, that means when we pray, God will not hear our prayer. In fact, David said to us in Psalm 66, verse 18, he said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Brethren, if we know of things in our life that we are not willing to confess and to forsake them before God, then you say, "Well, how big is that, Pastor?" It's just so big that God will not hear your prayer. You say, "Well, Pastor, I have just some small habits in my life, just some small things in my life, just some little sins or just a little attitude." How big is that little sin and that little attitude? It is so big that it keeps us from praying to our God and God hearing and answering our prayer. You see, when we think about David and Saul, can I tell you this? Occasionally, there are times in life when you and I might think that we are having a problem with someone, maybe at your job site, maybe in your home, and maybe even at church. Someone that you just don't really get along with well. Someone that kind of rubs you the wrong way. Someone that you are at odds with. And can I tell you something, brethren? Really, the battle is not between you and that person. The battle is between you and God. You see, when we think about David and Saul, it was not really David and Saul. It was David and God and Saul and God. Because God was dealing in the heart of Saul, but Saul would not listen. And Saul would not respond. And he would not repent and forsake. And he would not seek the face of God. And God was dealing with David. And David responded right to God. Brethren, life is about how you and I respond to God at work in our life. You see, when we have that difficult person to deal with, God allowed that person in our life. God allowed that person to say that unkind thing, even though we don't like the unkind thing. And what they did was wrong. But God will use it in our life because, brethren, you and I must go to the Lord in prayer. And by the way, if you want to deal with someone the right way, pray for that person. If you're having a trouble with someone, pray for them. Ask God to bless them and ask God to help your spirit and your attitude to be right towards them. Why? Because it is so important that God will hear and answer our prayer. God would not answer because of unconfessed sin in our lives. Let me tell you that, brethren, this is a big problem. This is something that must be taken care of. And if there are things that in our life today that are not right with the Lord, I wonder, is there something between you and the Savior today? Is there some amount of bitterness maybe that you have? Is there something that you're placing before God? In fact, would you take your Bibles? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. And do you know that if we have idols in our heart, God will not hear our prayer? You say, well, Pastor, we live in America and we don't worship idols here. We live in a land of idol worship. Oh, it might not be some statue that someone is bowing down to. It might not be some place, some temple that someone is worshiping towards. But people worship idols today. Do you know that it is possible to even allow your family to become an idol? Now, let me say this to you. I love my wife and children more than anything else here on the face of this earth. I really do. You cannot love your family too much, but you can put them in the wrong place in your life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need to have first place in your life. He doesn't need to be put on a list. He needs to be preeminent in your life. He is the one and only. He is everything. And when Christ has His proper place in your life and in my life, then and only then will we worship and serve God as we need to. And then others will have their proper place. Ezekiel chapter 14 in verses 2 and 3, the Bible says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" God is telling Ezekiel the prophet, I'm not going to hear them. They have idols in their heart. I will not hear their prayer. How important is it to you and me that God hears our prayer? I need the Lord to hear my prayer. And brethren, there is a God in heaven who His power is limitless. His resources are limitless. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Brethren, God is able to do more than what we could ever imagine. But if we cannot get a hold of God, listen, God has designed the Christian life that we receive from God what we need through prayer. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of James, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Today, if we are allowing any unconfessed sin in our lives, God will not hear and answer our prayer. Number two, God will not answer when we have unresolved trouble in our marriage. Would you take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I'm showing you from God's Word the ways God will not hear our prayer. I want you as a church to be able to pray and get a hold of God. And you know, the truth is, you need to understand that I am not your Savior by any means. I'm just a man just like anybody else is. I have needs just like anybody else is. I have weaknesses just like anybody else does here. I'm a Christian like you. But I can go to God by myself. Brethren, do you know that you don't have to go to the pastor to go to God? You can go to God on your own. You know, many people call me and say, Pastor, would you pray? And I'm thrilled to pray, and I want to know about those things. So I can pray for them, and I do pray for you. But brethren, you don't need me to go to God on your behalf. You can go to God on your own. But brethren, when we allow things in our life that keep God from hearing and answering prayer, we must be thorough with it. 1 Peter chapter 3, and the Bible says in verse number 1, notice this, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, let me say this before we read on. God gives clear instructions to husbands, to wives. God teaches that women are to be in subjection. But brethren, God's word teaches mutual subjection and mutual submission to one another. Do you know that my wife allows me to be the leader of my home because God has placed me in the leadership role of my home? Look, there are, and I will admit to this, my wife is a whole lot smarter than I am, much smarter. You know, my wife graduated 3 years, the salutatorian of the college. It took me about, I don't know how long to graduate, and they just barely let me through, you know. I think they just felt sorry for me and gave me a diploma, you know. My wife is more capable than I am, but she knows that God's word has declared that the husband is to be the leader of the home. But I am to submit and to subject myself to the needs of my wife. She submits to the leadership that God has placed me in, but I'm to submit to her needs, to take care of her. The Bible tells me I'm to cherish my wife. And by the way, I am to love her as Christ loved the church. The Bible goes on to talk about that the woman's adorning. It doesn't mean a woman is not supposed to fix her hair or not supposed to wear gold necklace or anything like that. It means that she is to focus on her heart. And that her heart is to be as beautiful as the outward. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Men, we are to know our wives, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Look at this. That your prayers be not hindered. Can I tell you this morning? If I am out of fellowship with my wife, then I cannot go to God. And God will not hear and answer my prayer. He will not answer. My prayers will be hindered. My wife and I, well, have been married 19 years this coming July. And really ought to congratulate her mostly for that, you know. I thank God for my wife. I love her. Our marriage has not been perfect by no means because we're two imperfect people, and there is no perfect marriage. There is no storybook marriage out there. It doesn't exist. But can I tell you something? There have been times, and I thank God they have been very few and limited, to where we have been at odds with one another. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm miserable when we are like that. I just can't even hardly function, you know? You know why? Because together we are one. The Bible says, what therefore God hath joined together. God joined us together almost 19 years ago. We are one. The Bible says they are no more twain, but one flesh. And that means this, when I and her, when we are not on speaking terms, I am not on speaking terms with my God. So how important is it to keep our fellowship right between our husbands and wives? It is so important that God will not hear our prayer if we are not right with one another. Can I tell you what that means, husbands and wives? You've got to guard the fellowship that you have between your husband and wife. Guard it. Keep it sweet. Keep it right. Forgive one another. Marriage. You know what marriage? Great marriages are made of great forgivers. Marriage is made up of people that are praying together. I tried to help the church last week to pray with your spouse. And let me encourage you. Pray with your husband. Pray with your wife. Let them hear you pray. Pray together. Pray for your children. Pray for your spiritual maturity. Pray for the church and pray for God's blessing. But when you are at odds with one another, you cannot talk to God and God will not answer. Look here, it takes work. It takes submission. It takes someone finally in the marriage saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. You know what happens? Usually, I'm the one who has to say, I'm sorry. And my wife says, well, I'm sorry too. And then I'll say, no, I'm the one who needs to say sorry. You know, I'm really in wrong. But you know what? Seeking forgiveness breeds forgiveness. It gives peace. It gives joy. There are some Christian homes that the husband and wife are almost at battle with one another. And they disagree so often together. And the disagreement leads to not just a disagreement, but to an outfight. And now they're mad at one another. Well, how important is it, Pastor? And look, that's just how homes are. It is so important that you cannot get a hold of God. And I need to get a hold of God. You see, when we allow unconfessed sin in our life, God will not hear and answer your prayer. When you have unresolved trouble in your marriage, God will not hear and answer prayer. Number three, God will not answer when we have an unforgiving spirit. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Mark chapter number 11. Would you notice this here? Mark chapter number 11. And let's begin in verse number 25. Brethren, if you want forgiveness from God, you must forgive. Did you know to hold back forgiveness from someone is such a terrible testimony because we have been forgiven of everything? In fact, the Bible says that we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. For you and I to hold back. And by the way, forgiveness is not just something verbal. You know, we might say, well, I forgive you. You've heard this before. I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget that. That's not forgiveness. Now look, you and I do not have the capability of not remembering something. Our minds remember. But you know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is saying, I will never bring that back up again. You know what God does to us? When we go to God, look, God doesn't say, well, you did this years ago and now you're doing it again. Oh, He doesn't do that to us. But I'm going to tell you what happens so often in a marriage or in a home. The husband sins against his wife again and she brings everything back up that he has done over the last 10 or 15 years. That is not forgiveness. Or the child does something again and the parent brings everything back up. That's not forgiveness. If you and I want forgiveness, if we want fellowship with our Heavenly Father, we must forgive. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says this. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You see, brethren, it is so important that we forgive. But when we harbor bitterness or we have unforgiveness in our heart to someone, listen, you can't get a hold of God because God's not going to forgive you of your sin. And if there is sin between you and God, He will not hear. You see, if you deal with people, pray for people. As I start praying for people by name that maybe someone that has wronged you, maybe someone that has hurt you, someone that has said something to you that has been very unkind and something that has been very, very just uncaring that they have said to you, and you're mad at them and you think about them and you think about what you're going to say to them or what you would like to say to them, you're allowing bitterness to harbor in your heart. And how important is it? Oh, it's just a little unforgiveness. It's just a little bitterness. But that little sin keeps you from fellowship with God and God will not hear, and God will not answer your prayer. Brethren, let us stay on that praying ground. Let us stay on that place where you and I are in sweet fellowship with our Heavenly Father, that we know that we are in touch with God, and that at any moment we can talk to God, and God hears and He answers our prayer. Brethren, because of Jesus Christ, you see, when He died upon the cross, He paid my sin debt and your sin debt. Now He allows us to go into His very presence on the merit of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Remember that day Jesus died on the cross? The billows of God's wrath rolled upon Jesus. The sky became dark during the middle of the day. And remember what happened in the temple where the Holy of Holies were at, and only the priest could enter into there, and people had to come to the priest, and the priest would go to God. The veil of that temple was rent in two. Guess what that meant? They could go right into the presence of God. And brethren, today we have that privilege. We have the greatest opportunity of all, that you and I can go straight to God. No one can keep us from Him. But when we allow unconfessed sin, and we allow unresolved trouble in our marriage, and when we harbor unforgiveness in our life, it keeps us from fellowship with God. It keeps God from hearing our prayer. There is nothing more tragic in life than losing contact with God. Have you ever come to church before and you knew, I'm so far away from the Lord, I can't even pray. I'm so far away from God, I can't even read His Word because it doesn't speak to me, because God's Word is a living book and you have to have the Spirit of God to understand the Bible and to reveal God's Word to you. But you're so far away. You're out of fellowship. Brethren, the wonderful thing, here's the great thing about our God, is that in a moment we can be back in fellowship with Him. Did you know, here's the great, great promise and a great truth. Today, you could leave Grace Baptist Church this morning and go and get in your car and go home and be thoroughly right with God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That you and I can be right with God. You say, well, I need to go to revival service. You don't have to go to some long service. You don't have to read some book. You don't have to go someplace. You can get right with God today, and you can leave here knowing that God hears and answers your prayer. He desires that. He longs for that. I can remember as a kid growing up, at times I would get out of fellowship with my dad. Maybe I would say something to him, or and I was disobedient to my dad, and I did not do what I should have done. And boy, I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't fellowship with him. And I'm close to my dad and my mom. And I wanted to be close to my dad. But there was something that was hindering our fellowship. You know what? When I asked my dad to forgive me, Dad, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for not obeying you. You know what my dad would always do? He'd say, son, that's okay. I forgive you. And he'd reach out with his big old arms and hold me. And the smile would come back on my face, and the smile would be on his face. Guess what? Now there was fellowship. Now there was joy. Now there was communion once again. And so many Christians live their lives. They have unresolved trouble in their marriage. They have unforgiveness in their heart, and they have unconfessed sin in their life that they've covered it up. And they don't have that sweet communion and that sweet fellowship with God. When you and I can do something about it, we can come before Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think this morning of all the things that you need for your life. What about for your family? What about for your home? What about for your children? What about for your church? What about for the peace of mind? God has already determined that there is only one way to receive what you need from God, and that is through prayer. My wife and I, as you know, a week ago, we were in Kansas, and we were there with Aaron and Candace at their wedding. Many of you watched it on live stream, which was a great thing. But I don't think that I will ever forget Aaron's dad getting up And he spoke. He was very emotional. I don't even know if I could speak at my children's wedding, you know. But he got up and spoke, and he said this. He said, "This is such a wonderful day." He was filled with so much joy that it caused so much emotion. And he said this, "My wife and I have prayed for Candace before we ever knew her." You know what they were doing? They were going to God and saying, "God, we want our son to marry the very one that you've created just for him. Lord, help Aaron to be pure and clean, and help this young lady to be pure and clean, so that one day they can come together as husband and wife." You know something? My mom and dad prayed for my wife who is sitting here today. They didn't know who she was, but they prayed that I would marry the one that God chose. You know what? I'm behind this pulpit this morning, and I'm preaching today. But my mom and dad, when I was born, they prayed that if it would be God's will to call me to be a preacher. Can I tell you something? We need God's touch and His hand upon our life. We cannot navigate this life on our own. You and I will self-destruct. You and I will make a mess of this wonderful God-given opportunity of life that He has given us. We can't do it. We've got to be in fellowship with God. We've got to have that direct line open to God. And if there is anything this morning in your life and in my life, let's come and bring it before Jesus. And He'll forgive us and cleanse us. Hudson Taylor was probably one of the greatest missionaries of all. And one day his wife, Jay Hudson Taylor, Mrs. Taylor, was on her deathbed and she was getting ready to die. Hudson Taylor was there beside of her, and she turned to her husband and she said this, "You know, my dear, that for the past 10 years, there has been no cloud between my Lord and me." You know what? Mrs. Taylor lived in such sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that she didn't want anything between her soul and the Savior. Hey, look, do you remember when you first got saved? You know what? When we first got saved and when I first got saved, I didn't want there to be any sin in my life. And man, when there was something that I said or did, I immediately confessed it to God to keep that fellowship, because it was me and my Savior, and I loved being close to Him. And we were so sensitive to sin, we were sensitive to the wrong thing. But if you're not careful and I'm not careful, we think, well, it's okay. I can allow this little sin, this little habit, this little thing in my life. How little is it? It's so big that it keeps you from hearing from God. What a terrible statement. "And the Lord would not answer him." Today, you and I can do something about that. We can come into His presence and seek His forgiveness, and God will hear our prayer once again. Let's bow our heads in prayer.